It's time for overrated, underrated, or properly rated with the Chad Hartman Show. Live here on CCO. Call or text 651-461-9226. Come on, join the fun.
Excellent. Susan K. Jones, she knows it. I talked to Kay today, and there was chemistry, Dave. There was chemistry.
Mama Jones?
Yes.
You and Mama Jones.
There was chemistry.
Yep. Just, I was talking to her about, because we're going on a trip to Arizona together in the winter.
Another vacation?
I got a lot.
Whoa, shock.
I should bring my sheet for next year.
I can only imagine.
You cannot imagine.
Don't tell us it's just one sheet. This is plural sheets, first of all.
It's a dossier.
For senior members, we get to pick our vacation first. I don't know if you knew that or not. Mm-hmm. But so I am first in line to pick the days off for next year.
Wow. Do you go in the newsroom and mock them?
I don't, because
hey,
that's
Taylor,
just me.
What day would you like? March 16th? Oh, I'm taking that.
Just
draw a line on the calendar. Yeah. Don't bother.
Don't even bother.
Right, here's the calendar for Susie. January through December.
No, but I'm pretty good January through March. I'm not going to be here a lot.
Mm.
I just love getting out of here.
Yes. All right, well, you're leading off.
Okay.
You're the leadoff hitter. We want others to jump in, too, with something you have that's overrated, underrated, properly rated, maybe a combo, maybe two separate ones. We'd love to have you chime in through a text, 651-461-9226.
I will begin.
Mm-hmm.
And this is going to catch you off guard, I think.
Okay.
I do. I think it's
vacation
my catch
vacation days, overrated.
No, stop it.
Yep.
I am going to tell our listeners and you guys that I think that funerals are underrated.
Funerals underrated. Okay.
I went to two funerals in the last 4 days.
Okay.
And I forget how much I love everybody in my family. And we sat there at the...
Not sure we heard that a couple weeks ago, Dave. Did we hear a lot of...
It sounded a little different at that point.
But they're your sisters.
No, my cousins.
Oh, your cousins. You like them.
I do.
Yeah.
And I like them. And I think that you should get together more with people that you love and wait and not have to wait till a funeral.
I think that's right on. I play golf yesterday with three very good friends.
Right.
And I was reminded how lucky I am to have all three of them in my life.
Mm-hmm. Your heart just bursts.
Hey, does my heart burst with them? No, but I...
Well, my heart...
Funeral, then.
Yeah.
I was bursting with love.
I love all three of these individuals. So, yeah, I guess my heart was bursting. Okay. Is it... Can you separate when you're at the funeral when someone has passed...
Mm.
And, you know, that's a significant loss. There's sadness about it, along with the opportunity to see people who you care for.
Yeah, it's a weird kind of dichotomy that happens because you do listen to the service. I went to another one of a friend of mine's mom, and you get those really poignant moments where your nose starts to sting and you get tears in your eyes because you realize how much those people that are speaking love that person who is gone.
Yeah.
And even if it's not me who's feeling the sadness about the person, I'm going there to support the person. But you really, really, really experience deep and profound love and sadness. And what, I mean, we spend, I think, way too much time bombing through life, not thinking, not feeling, going here, going there, you know, the automatic drive, how did I get here? And a funeral will stop you. A good funeral will stop you and say, listen.
I think that's a great point. I really do. Bravo.
Thank you. My next one, not sure how to rate this. I'm going to say it's underrated.
Okay.
Really good football. There were some.
Is this tied to your fantasy football plan? It seems to be a lot of football talk during this segment, and I don't remember it other years. And now that you're playing fantasy football,
I'm going to say no on that.
Okay.
You know why?
Okay.
Because Dax, what's his name? Prescott.
Dak Prescott.
Whatever
yes.
his name is.
Beleaguered Cowboys quarterback.
That's my quarterback.
Yeah.
So I have not gotten a lot of points out of him.
Yeah.
But that play, that Hail Mary, with Washington Commanders.
Yeah.
When he threw it in the end zone, I don't know if you saw it or not.
No, I missed it the whole time.
Shush.
It's only like every post.
It's a wonder. It was a wonderful. Yeah, it was a really cool end, and I enjoy watching football.
What did you think
of
Tyreek Stevenson, number 29 for the Bears, who spent, I don't know, 65% of the play taunting Commander fans. Did you see that part?
Yes, that was intense.
Oh,
there was some
hysterical.
There was some fighting too going on this weekend.
Well, let's stay with Stevenson.
Okay,
if you missed it, he's 30 yards from any other cornerback or member of the secondary. He's mocking Commander fans, Dave.
Oh,
he's
my
over. We've won.
And then back to the play as it's going on.
As the play's going on. By the way, there was a hold on the play, too, as Daniels, ASU quarterback, by the way, as he's trying to set up the throw. And then he kind of just casually jogs over there. And then the tip happens. If I'm the Bears organization.
You're finding him.
No. I'm not letting him in the locker room. Tyreek, have you heard of Dulles Airport? Have you heard of Reagan Airport? Go out there with your helmet and your uniform on. You're not coming in the locker room. I don't let him in the locker room, Dave Harrigan. All right?
I mean, he made it to the play in time.
Kind
of. Sort of tipped the ball to the guy that ended up catching it, but he made it there.
Yeah.
He got there, Chad.
Yeah, that was a pretty notable play, to say the least.
Yeah. And I'll just do my last one.
Sure.
I'm doing the letter F. So funerals, football, and I wanted it to be a triplicate.
Watch yourself.
Fighting the urge to eat sweets.
Oh.
Properly rated.
I don't fight it.
I know you don't.
Mm-mm.
But I got on the scale this morning.
Yeah.
Mistake.
You look great. Knock that
I
off.
Feel great, and okay. I think I look great, but my butt is so big, and the scale's just like, boing. And I'm like, God, all Friday. I can't have another couple of good days of cheeseburgers and french fries and a dessert. And
maybe,
with the scale
maybe
just
don't
going,
go on a vacation.
Doing.
I mean, maybe it'll actually work. You know, vacation. Dave, do scales need to talk to us in some way?
Yes.
Sound effects?
Stop eating.
Oh.
How about big butt?
Hey, what kind of fun did you have yesterday?
I just had a lot of food that
I'm saying that's what the scale would say.
Oh, I see. Yes.
Hey, maybe we need to take the numbers off scales, and the scale can either say, hey, nice job.
Nice job.
Or,
I love
you
that.
You don't want to know where you're at right now. Trust
I
me. It ain't good.
Love that.
Take
I
a,
love
take
that.
A roll.
Or, ba-doing. You know?
A motivational scale.
Or a belittling scale. Hey, I'm dying.
I love
that. How about
that.
One leg?
I love that.
651-461-9226. What do you have for Wolf Rated? We're back in seconds on Susie's station. Among the texts, we got Stevie as the bumper theme today since he was in town.
Stevie was apparently great last night, and I have friends that ran into Stevie at a hotel bar Saturday night.
Did he admit he's been lying about this blind thing for
still
60 years?
Still playing the game, Chad.
Yeah.
Did they say hi to him?
Yeah, they took pictures and everything.
Nice. Fun.
Excellent. A number of texts here. Susie good. Jones, underrated. Susie Jones on funerals. Awesome statement. Susie Jones, just the best.
Gosh.
A lot of loving of Susie Jones.
I guess. I'm feeling all right.
Yes. Dave Harrigan, what do you have?
He has a long list, he told me.
I got a lot going on. We're not going to get to all of it. But let's start out with a properly rated. Have either of you watched Woman of the Hour on Netflix?
Yes.
I have not.
Terrifying.
That is exactly what my wife said. So we watched it Saturday night. And I say it's properly rated because it's really good.
It's really good.
And
true story.
She turns to me after that and says, I think your reaction to this movie is very different as a man than as a woman.
Oof.
And it.
Give me the premise here.
Anna Kendrick stars as Cheryl Bradshaw.
True story.
The woman who went on the dating game in the 70s. And it just so happened the guy she picked was Ronald Alcala, serial killer.
Ooh.
And the movie goes through and it shows some of the horrific crimes he committed. And then it goes, you know, you see the dating game, you know, as
the actual footage,
not the actual footage, but they shoot it in like Technicolor. So it looks old. And
right.
It's, you know, Kendrick asking questions to the bachelors and, you know, she eventually picks him because he's a charmer.
Yeah.
And then things go down just an hour later as they're leaving.
Oh,
and
my
so
God.
Is it just a 2 hour movie?
It's an hour and a half movie. Yeah,
and it's tremendously good. And, I mean, Susie, you can speak to it, but as my wife
chilling.
Said, she was – I mean, she had to stay up for about an hour and a half just watching Happy Things on TV because it just hit her so
And again,
hard.
The name of it?
Woman of the hour.
Woman of the hour.
Yeah.
Susie?
Yeah, really amazing and scary. And again, what was again disheartening about it is that, and not to share everything, but this man had been on the radar. A lot of women had come forward and said, this happened to me, or this almost happened to me. Yeah. And nobody ever did much.
Ignored.
Ignored. And they think he probably killed hundreds, but I think he is in prison right now.
He's dead now.
He died in prison a few years,
2021
anyway,
or something.
That was very...
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Daniel Zavato is the actor who played it. I'd never heard of him or seen him. I mean, this guy.
On the list.
This
good.
Guy.
Thank you.
Yeah, definitely put it up there. Underrated. We've talked about this, I think, just off air, Chad.
Okay. Mm.
Trader Joe's frozen meals. Underrated.
You like them.
They're so good.
Yes.
Nice.
They are so frozen meals, and also they just got a line of soups. I got a New England clam chowder over the weekend. They have a lobster bisque, which is unbelievable.
La-di-da. Nice. Typical. Sounds like lobster bisque. You know, Susie and I are just trying to get by.
Right.
No, I'm with you 100%. You know, we've talked about this a bunch. I love just to pick up Trader Joe's. Mm-hmm. Like recently, a couple times I picked up this buffalo chicken wrap, which is great. And then a chili or soups, and like a total of $9.
Nice.
Right. It's still better for us to make it at home, and I make plenty of lunches at home.
Yeah.
Right? But compared, if you're coming down here, you get something like that, that's $25.
Yeah, right.
Yes. Right? And I think in Trader Joe's, the snack opportunities, really good. The dark chocolate. Reese's peanut butter cup imitations, they're to die for.
Got some and you have one out in Plymouth, right? Because ours is in St. Louis Park.
Where I'm talking about the one that's on...
right here on Washington?
Hopkins Crossroad, right?
Oh, yeah, that one. That's close, too.
Yeah, I don't know if that's Plymouth or St. Louis Park right there.
Oh.
Borderline.
Anyway, yeah, good.
Borderline. Should be Golden Valley. I mean, best town in America.
Yeah. A lot of people don't aren't
St. Louis Park, you're dead to us. Westopolis, we want no part of you.
Last one I'll give you
crawl
right now.
Back over there.
Shh.
I have not watched every single inning, but most of the innings I've seen, or most of the games I've seen, most of the innings of the two World Series games, Fox's presentation of the World Series, specifically this year, is unmatched.
Great.
It's really, really good.
Really good.
Inventing new camera angles. They've got mics everywhere, including, you know, inside second base when Shohei Ohtani's writhing around in pain and you can hear him.
Yes.
clearly. And Smoltz, my goodness, he is
so good.
I mean, across sports, might be the best analyst there is.
So, forgive me because I'm not much of a baseball fan.
Until you get in a fantasy league, and then we'll be talking about it every segment for
where are we with the series right
now? 2-0, Dodgers lead. They're in New York tonight.
Okay, good. I'll watch.
4-7. Okay. Next three games, if they need three games, in New York.
Okay.
I watched almost the entirety of Friday, and it was as good as game one of a World Series can be. It's not Puck, Game 6. It's not Jack Morris, Game 7. But Game 1, you could question the strategy, including I thought Jeter was right post-game on why Aaron Boone's taking Garrett Cole out when he looked like he was invincible. Relievers coming in, the Verdugo catch, and obviously the Freddie Freeman home run. Everybody nailed it. Freddie Freeman, his comments, going to his dad.
Yeah.
Afterwards, his family coming out there. Joe Davis nailed the call. Really good. I think the one thing, and again, I'm a big fan, but the fact that Davis has been a Dodgers announcer for years and years and years and has heard Vin's call of the Gibson home run over and over and over again did help him. Okay, he still had to meet the moment, and he met it 100%. But if you're a broadcaster and you're replacing a legend, and one of his legend's moments is the Gibson home run. What would you guess? Joe Davis has heard that call from Vin 500 times?
Roughly.
Right? So she's gone. And then also the fact that it was also hit at 8:37 Pacific time. I mean, it was...
Same area.
It was
spooky.
It was so good. Okay. Let me go fast. We will get back to this probably on Thursday, but I want to say bravo to two towns in New Jersey who've set an age to ban kids from trick-or-treating. There's one in Camden County's banned children over the age of 14.
Okay.
Thank you. Trick-or-treating is for kids, not adults. Anyone 14 over? No. Then there's another one where they've talked about even 12. In 2019, the city council updated the law from the age of 12 to 14 and removed the potential jail time. Because, you know, no, if you're driving to trick-or-treat, if you're smoking a heater to trick-or-treat, no. 14.
And if you just have a tiny little makeup, but everything.
Yeah, you know, if you got the goatee going.
Yeah, yeah.
If your TikTok account is flying, no. 14 is max for trick-or-treating. You're saying no.
I say disagree.
Okay.
Why? If you're older than 14 and you want to put the effort in, I'll throw a fun size Snickers.
How about 61, Susie Jones? Hey, can she show?
You know what?
What's the age cutoff for Dave Harrigan?
There isn't one. I had a small class in college, and one gal in the class was very small and had a very young-looking face, and she went out trick-or-treating as a 20-something-year-old and brought candy back for all of us.
Okay, so it's about you. I got it. Okay, there we go. The Dwayne Wade statue. Susie's an all-timer, Hall of Famer.
And I'm familiar with Dwayne Wade.
Supposedly Dwayne Wade helped with the statue. It looks nothing. Nothing like Dwayne Wade.
Did he help?
Can I repeat?
Shape it?
Nothing. He supposedly met with the statue artist four times. We don't rip the statue artist enough. When do they get it right? They screw it up.
What do you think your dad's? What do you hate your dad's?
I think that's a rare, very good one.
Yeah.
I'm shocked. That one's good. But, I mean, think about the other ones in town that are so bad.
You know where there's a huge one? Inside the McCormick Center in Chicago, or the United Center of Michael Jordan.
Really? I never heard of it. Really? There's a Michael Jordan one outside United Center?
Have you found United Center?
Wow, I haven't heard that before.
You know what, you guys? I hate you both. You know I do.
I like how you told us that like it's breaking news. It happened 20 years ago.
He was a Bull. He was a Chicago Bull.
What?
Yeah.
I still, one of my favorite moments with you this year is when you're, where is United Center?
Getting off the subway.
You're on the L.
I am.
And then Dave looks it up. And you're facing one way. And as you turn around, it's like 2 blocks from you. Like Arena,
the Jordan statue is tapping you on the shoulder.
Exactly.
And the security people, I'm like, where's United? And they're like, are you like cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs?
So we need to sit.
Well, we made it.
Okay, let's go.
You got one?
TJ's mac and cheese frozen. Really good.
Oh, at Trader Joe's. Okay, thanks.
Chad, I've not watched a single baseball game all season. This game was amazing. It was fantastic. Dave, you want to mention some of the Trader Joe's frozen meals? There's a bunch of them.
I've had a number of like Indian, other Asian dishes. We went with the soup I mentioned. The seafood paella was tremendous.
Yep.
We also got the peanut butter cups. And speaking of the snacks, cornbread crisps.
Oh,
it's cornbread crisp
really good
season, baby.
Wow. Mm. Did I mention I made chili?
Oh, are you bringing some in tomorrow?
I should, because I think I'm not going to be able to eat it because I think I might have put too much chili pepper in it.
Oh, it's a little.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's
both
test
of
that
us
theory.
Are willing to check that out.
Okay.
One last thing.
Yes.
If you from a texter, very funny. If you dress as a pirate and it's your real beard, you're too old to trick or treat. All right. We spent multiple days last week talking about first the LA Times editorial board and their backpedal. Then a couple days later, the Washington Post editorial board and their backpedal. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, not something they announced, you know, months before that they weren't going to endorse a presidential candidate, but all of a sudden, we're not going to do it. Scott Gillespie was on this show a lot with Playing Politics. He's the former head of the Star Tribune op-ed board. So Scott Gillespie, what does Scott think about this, including what does he think about the Tribune and their decision to no longer endorse candidates? My friend Scott Gillespie is minutes away on CCO. Looking forward to this conversation with Scott Gillespie. As I mentioned before the break, Scott with the Star Tribune for a long time. Former Star Tribune opinion editor. He was involved year after year, election after election, meeting with his fellow opinion editors and members of the board, deciding, okay, who are we going to endorse? If it's a a president, a member of the city council, a Senate seat, you name it. And the news happened first last week with the L.A. Times, where it appeared the family of the owner stepped in. First, it seemed like the owner, friends with Musk, was that a part of it? And the daughter comes out and suggests that she's very upset with Harris and her policies towards Israel and Gaza, that she has not been critical enough of Israel. Then the Washington Post, again, like the LA Times, about to announce their endorsement. And the Post says, we're going to pass. A lot of people finger pointing at Jeff Bezos. Bezos and Trump have battled before. Blue Origin and the role Trump could play if he's back in the presidency. And again, at both papers, LA Times, Washington Post, top level editors and writers leaving, upset about the decision. Scott's here. Scott's faced this decision before on who to select with the Tribune. And Scott is here on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Good to chat with you, my friend. As you looked at what happened with those prominent papers, as a person who was right in the middle of that, what was your reaction?
I felt sorry for the journalists who are involved, that they weren't allowed to do their work, to be independent, to uphold the traditions of their newspapers and their editorial boards, which are long and storied. I was not shocked, especially surprised, yes, especially with the Washington Post. That one took me, I guess, by surprise, because obviously that's the newspaper of Bradley, Woodward, Bernstein, Democracy Dies in Darkness, and because of their owner's decision, apparently, and his handpicked publisher, they've decided to stay out of the biggest presidential election that's come along in a long time.
Do you think that the two owners need to step forward and provide some clarity, and are you expecting that to happen?
I think they should. I think when you buy a media organization, which they did, you take on the responsibility of being part of a journalistic enterprise. And I think the best media outlets do explain to their readers, their listeners, their viewers, why they made the big decisions that they make. Do I expect them to? I don't know that I know enough about those two ownership, you know, groups and in Bezos' case individual to make a prediction on that. But probably not, I guess, if I had to guess. But I wish they would.
Scott, there was a time when the Star Tribune in this area, the LA Times, Washington Post, we could go through the list. There was nothing comparable to their influence. Let me say again, in this state, the Star Tribune is still by far the number one news source. However, unlike 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago, we have so many other options, whether it's more television options, radio options, blogs, podcasts, you name it. Where do you think we are now with the impact and the import and the influence of editorial endorsements now compared to where they once were?
I think there's probably less of an impact because there's just more noise. There's obviously, as you said, Chad, there are way more outlets for people to go to, more places to get both factual information but also misinformation. That's why that misinformation piece is why I think it's really important for trusted voices, and I like to think that at least among some readers, the publications we're talking about today have very, very loyal trusted readers or who trust in them. Many people who don't live and breathe the political cycle, and they look to those voices for guidance. And then you know, you get to that point where people will say, well, you shouldn't tell people how to vote. We were really always pretty careful in our language. We tried to make it clear to people that we We're just giving the editorial board's opinion of who the best candidate was in a race based on our reporting, frequently in-person meetings with those candidates, and hope to add to the public discussion in a way that was beneficial and that was good for Minnesota and for our readers. And I think that these media outlets take a credibility hit when they decide to sit out the biggest questions that we face in this country and in this state.
This is Scott Gillespie, former Star Tribune opinion editor. He's with me, Chad Hartman here. It's 44 past one. What is your feeling about the Tribune? A policy they didn't announce this week. They announced months ago that they were going to break from tradition and they were not going to formally endorse a president, a senator, and other races.
I was disappointed. I left the paper May 31st and entered retirement. At that point, I don't think the decision had been made. I was asking because it was a point where we needed to start. The staff that was going to be there after I left needed to start planning. I really didn't get an answer about whether or not they were going to do endorsements at that point. So I was disappointed. I will give my former paper a great deal of credit for being upfront, which the Times and the Post really, I don't think, did a great job of. And my successor did a column that explained the reasoning. I just happen to disagree with the decision and the reasoning, and I don't think it's beneficial for readers.
I want to follow up on that because I saw a few people on Twitter this past weekend referencing Glenn Taylor because a lot has been made about the Times owner and even more so Jeff Bezos, and you nailed it. This is Washington, D.C., and this is a presidential race, some hinting that, well, was Glenn Taylor involved? I want you to tell me if you ever felt Glenn was involved in editorial decisions. My feeling is from afar that he was not, and Glenn is a proud Republican. If Glenn was going to exert his influence on the editorial board, then why would he select Steve Grove as publisher, who's fresh out of the Walz administration and is a longtime Democrat? That's an odd way to push his Republican agenda, in my opinion.
That's a good point. And I can't say whether Glenn had a role in this decision. I will almost guarantee that he was aware of it and it was discussed with him before it was announced to the readers. We kept him in the loop when I was at the paper on big decisions, especially those involving the editorial board and the opinion pages. At times he wrote or had others write on his behalf pieces that we published. There was a time where he wanted to write his own editorial. We ended up convincing him to write a byline piece. He was consulted on some personnel matters. So it's not like he wasn't involved, but you make a good point about the hiring of Steve and right out of the Walz administration. And I will say also, I believe the Star Tribune has been well served by Glenn's ownership. I think it's he's done a very good job for the paper and for the state in terms of keeping an independent news organization healthy, and that's terrific. But I just think many decisions are made down there every day. This decision got made on endorsements, and I disagree with it.
Always appreciate it, sir. I hope retirement is going well, and I'll reach out again soon.
See you on the golf course. Thanks, Jeff.
Absolutely. Scott Gillespie here. 47 past 1 on News Talk 830 WCCO. All right, we discussed this last week, but considering it's in the news and we just chatted with Scott Gillespie, it's worth jumping in again on the editorial decision. You can chime in, too, if you'd like, 651-461-9296. How this played out and how it was announced was chicken bleep, 100%. If you don't think ownership was involved, you think the Atlantic Ocean is in my backyard in Plymouth, Minnesota. They didn't just say, hey, at the LA Times and the Washington Post, you know what? We've decided to endorse Kamala. No, we're not going to. If you make a decision that you're going to step away, fine. Fine. The true impact is minuscule. I really believe that. I believe now you have so many platforms where individuals can consume information that it carries little weight. I have zero problem with a newspaper offering up an opinion. I heard Jordana today was a bit perplexed where Jordana, as a talk show host, is saying she doesn't want the Star Tribune to give an opinion when she gives an opinion every day. She's completely entitled to her feeling, but Jordana was saying, well, if you're a news organization, you shouldn't do that. We're a news organization. We have people give opinions all over the place here. Jordana's point, maybe that it's the paper as a whole. I'm in the middle of it, so I get the separation. A lot of people don't. The op-ed board is not the same as the columnist, the journalist. If you're in the media, you get that separation. If you're not, I don't fault people for not understanding that. So, Dave, if a paper wants to step away like the Tribune did and announced months ago, fine. This is a bit of the approach that Grove, who still is a Democrat, the Glenn Taylor stuff over the weekend, too, is utter nonsense, including from some journalists with the hints that Glenn's involved. Oh, yeah. That's why he hired a liberal. Odd way for Glenn to want to influence the editorial board to promote someone in Steve Grove who still deals with the Walz administration.
Might be the long game, Jen.
Oh, okay.
You always ignore the long game.
I mean, if you want to criticize Taylor, there's territory. Then there's facts. When you do it days out, you're deciding, you're worried about how this is going to reflect in you. There's a long story today about a number of big tech bosses who clash with Trump repeatedly during the first 4 years. And guess what? The Google guy talking to Trump. Tim Cook talking to Trump. Bezos. Trump went after Bezos incessantly. Okay. You either believe in that journalism when the editorial board told you months and months ago that nothing was going to change and they would endorse someone. To me, it's individuals who thought Trump's not going to win, so we'll be okay. I don't have to deal with him. And now it's, oh, bleep. We might have to deal with him. And then, oh, by the way, the LA Times daughter saying she was involved in the decision. Who do we have now? Do we have those folks who are involved in op-eds? Or do we have the family members who on a whim can step in? Because that's when people should look at the media as a whole and say, now, wait a second. Do you, the host, do you, the columnist, do you, the op-ed board, do you guys have the freedom to do what you believe? Or is it your boss? Because we're now owned by George Soros. Probably spends more money on lefty causes than anybody on planet Earth. And I've said over and over and over again, and anybody who knows me knows this is true. If we would ever get one inkling of what I'm supposed to say because of Soros, I'll walk out the door. I won't be here. But others might say I have to stay. And others who are listening might say, wait a second. If Soros watched what the influence of Bezos and the LA Times folks did, Why isn't he going to do the same when he now is the guy calling the shots for the second biggest radio conglomerate in the United States of America, and he's not neutral? He's as lefty as it gets.
I think we said it last week. For a country that has a lot of distrust in the media,
yeah,
certainly doesn't help. None of this helps. And if we're, you know, trying to, you know, imagine a world where Glenn Taylor buys the Star Tribune, Jeff Bezos buys the Washington Post, and they do that just because that seems like fun, or I didn't know media is struggling, so I'm going to buy this little charity project. No, they did it to make money. They did it because they believe these institutions could pad their pocketbook. And it's clear, I think, for the vast majority of America, what happened with the New York Times and what happened with the Washington Post last week, and probably what happened when the Star Tribune said months and months ago that they're not going to be doing endorsements. It's a business decision. It's a, we're going to walk this straight down the middle. We're not going to offend anybody. We're not going to have, you know, so-and-so, whatever
long,
side
long
it's on.
Business tone.
Yeah, yeah. They're not going to, you know, we don't want to boycott. So let's just play it down the middle with as far as it's, you know, let's do what we do and stay away from the political contest and deciding who we want to win.
Chip's next. That's our Linda's Construction Time Check at 157. Time to get free installation labor on Minnesota-made Infinity from Arvin Windows.